The prosecution in the trial of the admitted Boston Marathon bomber Dzhokhar Tsarnaev will wrap up its case on Monday after hearing from witnesses today. Tsarnaev is accused of causing the deaths of three people and the injuries of more than 260 others at the finish line of the Boston Marathon almost 2 years ago. He's also accused of killing an MIT police officer in a confrontation days later. Tsarnaev's trial began earlier this month with his lawyers admitting the defendant's guilt. If he's convicted, Tsarnaev could face the death penalty. Philip Martin has been inside the federal courthouse in South Boston for much of the trial, senior investigative reporter for our partner WGBH. Welcome back, Philip.
John, thank you.
It's great to talk to you again. Now, admitting the defendant's guilt by the defense means they admit that he was involved in the crimes, but they don't admit that it's a capital offense for him, right?
Well, that's right. The whole aim of the defense is to keep their client alive. This is, as you said, it's a death penalty case. And right now, as the trial winds down and we enter or will soon be entering the penalty phase, what the defense is trying to do, and this is their whole aim, is to keep Dzhokhar Tsarnaev from being executed.
What has the prosecution failed to do or had difficulty doing in terms of convincing the jury that this is a crime worthy of him being put to death?
Well, as you know, in order to be on this jury, you had to agree to implement the death penalty. And what the prosecution has been able to do is by using texts, for example, from the radical American cleric Anwar Aliki, who was killed in Yemen in 2011 in a drone strike. That information has been found on Dzhokhar Tsarnaev's computer drives and on his peripherals. So what the prosecution has been able to show is that he was inspired by something other than his brother. And if the defense entire if their entire argument is that he was inspired and under undue influence from Tamerlan Tsarnaev, then what the prosecution has been able to do is countermand that argument to show that it wasn't Tamerlan Tsarnaev that was influential. This guy was self-influenced, they said. He was a lone wolf, influenced, this is the prosecution's argument, influenced by radical Islam.
Did they have to suggest that Dzhokhar Tsarnaev might have done this on his own if his brother wasn't even involved?
Well, that's the whole point. When's this testimony? What was problematic? What they showed, what the prosecution showed, what the government showed, was Tamerlan Tsarnaev purchasing materials from Target in a community near here. They showed on a video surveillance tape that it was Tamerlan who was purchasing BBs, that it was Tamerlan who was purchasing the components for the bomb. And what the defense is trying to show is that if it was Tamerlan doing all of these things, then it was Tamerlan who was the mastermind of the of this operation. And what the defense is hoping to show in that with that argument that it was indeed undue influence of Tamerlan Tsarnaev over his younger brother.
And the testimony shows that Dzhokhar Tsarnaev understood the websites he was looking at, is fluent or at least fluent enough in Chechen and possibly Arabic.
Yes, exactly. That's precisely what was shown. You had a linguist who speaks Russian, who speaks Chechen, who speaks Arabic. And she basically said that his intentions were clear.
It's a plausible argument that at a very vulnerable time in the family's history, and for a lot of past and present vulnerabilities, that the brother who had just returned from some time in Dagestan may have influenced Dzhokhar. I would also say that two different psychologists have looked at Dzhokhar's Twitter feed, and both of them have concluded that it was in the fall when he made his decision to go ahead with the bombing, and that would correspond with just shortly after the brother's return.
What is the emotional argument that the defense is going to try to give to this jury to keep Tsarnaev alive?
The emotional argument is the presence of the defendant himself. He looks like he's been described as sort of disheveled, as sort of aloof. But the defense will describe him, as the 21-year-old man that he is. They're going to portray him as a young man who was basically misled by his brother. Lots of young people are misled by influential figures, as we well know. And they're going to say he happened to be misled by a strong, domineering brother.
Philip Martin, senior investigative reporter for our partner WGBH. Thanks so much, Philip.
John, thank you very much.